What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I appreciate the song. Desire your prayers for the Lord to be with us in these moments this morning. I'd like to just make a reference to the scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, in the 31st verse. After God had looked at the creation that He had made, as He looked at it, He says, "And behold, it was very good." Up until that point, everything that had been done, He says, it was good. But now that it is complete, He said it was very good. Whether this was in reference to specifically man that had been created or the entire picture of creation, I can't say for certain. However, I could say this from my standpoint. Looking at what God has made available to us and what He has done, I can also say I think it's very good. Now that word very, in the Hebrew, it means superlative, most eminent, fantastic. It's superlative. It's excellent. Very good. Now, I want us to think with that backdrop as we go into the little burden I feel the Lord has placed on my heart today. God is the Creator. He is the one that knows, intricately knows, everything in His creation. In God's creation, man, I believe, is His crown jewel. He has given to you and me the ability to think and reason and process information. I know there are other creatures in creation that have intelligence and have proven abilities to do things that's beyond my understanding. I have seen video clips of a crow fashioning a tool out of a piece of wire to be able to reach down inside a cup and pull up to the surface what piece of food he is wanting. I have seen that same animal take a glass of water and put in it, in the water, a little bit of water in the bottom of the glass, put in that water a kernel of corn or grain, and it's food for that crow. He knows that if he can get to that, he can have that grain of corn. And beside that glass is a stack of a pile of pebbles, rocks. He can't reach the grain of corn, but one by one he begins dropping pebbles into that water, raising the water level until the grain is close enough for him to get. Now that's we have to be honest, folks, that shows a level of intelligence and ability to think and reason in a bird. In a bird. But God has given to you and me a will, a never dying soul, and the ability to also plan, think, reason, and use those things around us in our environment for our benefit if we will, or for our detriment if we will, whatever we will. He has given us that ability. No one knows us as we know ourselves and as God knows us. He knows the things that make you tick, as the saying goes. He knows the things that make you tick. He understands why you react and respond the way you do to the things that happen in your life. God understands that. I know that you have had events come to you in life and you respond and react and you don't even really know for sure why you respond and react the way that you do. But God knows. We can think that we understand. We can look at circumstances around us and try to put pieces of the puzzle together and make a picture, an image of why we do the things that we do. But I can tell you without hesitancy The Creator knows why you do the things you do. He created you. If He is the Creator, then He has the blueprint. He knows intricately everything about you and me and why we respond the way we do. He knows the events of your life and has a salvation plan that is well able and quite capable of meeting your needs, whatever they may be. It's a tailor-made salvation plan for every individual. Folks, I want us to gain confidence in that. Knowing today that we serve a Creator that has a plan that will work for you. There's no one else in this world quite like you. And He knows you. Only He can and knows how to forgive you for those things that need forgiveness. Those things that need to be covered in the blood of Jesus. His salvation plan is a perfect plan. And it cannot be put on the same plane as anything that man can contrive. I've written on the board the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. I want to just give a couple of things here for us to think about. Of all of our human wisdom, what we've done with it. I was looking last night some things that are above my head. Mathematical equations, doesn't take me long to get bogged down in that. Figuring out the gravitational pull of the masses of the planets in our solar system. My mind has gone back to an event that occurred many, many years ago. I think it was Apollo 13. Where Apollo 13 was launched and was supposed to land on the moon. But somewhere on the trip, the astronauts were given their commands from ground control to do certain things, certain switches in order to make a change in their trajectory. And when they did that, something bad happened on board the spacecraft. If I remember correctly, there was a fire on board. They were able to get that all taken care of, get it extinguished. But it left them in a very precarious situation where they had trouble on board the spacecraft. Three men, if I remember correctly, there were three men on board. And ground control had to come up with ways to try to fix an orbiter that was thousands of miles away. And they didn't have a whole lot of equipment to work with. Carbon dioxide levels were rising in the cabin, and when it reaches a certain point, we can't function. Humans can't function because the carbon dioxide level gets to a certain point and oxygen levels drop. We reach a point we can't function. So it was a critical time. And they had to make, I think it was called a scrubber, to try to clean the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere of the cabin. They had enough oxygen generation, but they had too much carbon dioxide building up. And they didn't have the option of fitting those things in the capsule because they had to close off, if I remember right, they had to close off a portion of it, and they could only use what was available in the capsule. And the engineers on the ground thought of anything that might be available in the cabin of that spacecraft. And they've said, this is what we have to work with. Dumped it out on the table and said, you have X amount of time to come up with a solution so these men can fix their problem. It's their only hope of being saved alive. Then we have to figure out how to get them back to Earth if we can. They did it. They did it. And they were able not only to clean the cabin of the carbon dioxide gases and have the oxygen levels come up, but they also were able, human minds, able to sit down and think about a way to make this happen and make it work. And those astronauts came back to Earth successfully. Wisdom of men. Those are good things. Those are things that God has given to man. Whether it makes any difference in the grand scheme of things or not, I can't say. But it tells me that God has given to man the ability to solve problems. Big problems. And come up with solutions to fix those big problems. Now I'm going to present something else to you. Here we have today in our society, in February of 2018, we have problems. We have abortion, where we allow there to be the killing of an unborn child, either in the process of birth or in the womb. We allow that. Human minds have come up with ways to make it happen, and they've come up with reasons to justify it. Wisdom of men. We have gender dysphoria, where people who are born male or female have trouble being able to identify with their birth sex, and they don't want to identify with their birth sex, so they have become transgender. Human wisdom. Wisdom of men. We have, these are just a few little quick things. We have in our society today made allowance for and reasons for there to be same-sex marriage. We've made reasons for that in the wisdom of men. We in the wisdom of men feel like it is appropriate to put sanction and approval on those kinds of conducts in our society. I wonder what the Creator thinks about those things. I wonder what the Creator thinks about our wisdom. And I'll tell you, where when you put wisdom of men against the wisdom of God, folks, the wisdom of men is always going to come out on the low side. The Creator that looked at everything that He had done, everything that He had spoken into existence, whatever materials that He used caused them to be, He looked at that and said it was superlative. Absolutely grand. And I say to you today in the fear of God, we have messed it all up. And it makes my heart ache when I look around at a society that God created and that God made and that God loves, and He loves all of those who have trouble with gender dysphoria. He loves all of those who have trouble and have had abortion. He loves all of those who have same-sex marriages. God loves all of those, and He has a plan of salvation that will reach to every individual. He has a plan that causes there to be a change in the heart and the life and the mind of an individual. There have been people all through time, folks, who have found the salvation plan of God and found that it works. It transforms a man. And when they find the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, there is a power that is capable of doing that transformation. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read a couple of passages here. We'll start in the second chapter to begin. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. And oh, what powerful words they are. Beginning with verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can I pause right here? Folks, no matter where this world goes, no matter where it turns and twists and winds, do not allow yourselves to be caught up with and have your faith standing in the wisdom of men. I know man can do some wonderful things. Mentioning that Apollo 13, those guys who were thousands of miles away from the earth, relying on men on the ground to try to help them come up with a solution to maybe save their lives and get them back to earth, it was a remarkable feat. And when that capsule splashed down in the ocean and they were able to get those helicopters out there and pick those astronauts up out of that capsule and bring them back on dry ground, do you not think that they were a happy group of people? Do you not think that the engineers who were in the room waiting for this opportunity, do you know that while that capsule is coming back through the atmosphere, there is a blackout time. And there was some damage on this capsule. And they weren't sure if it was going to be able to make it through that phase of it coming through the atmosphere. And it superheats that capsule. And there's a heat shield on the bottom of that thing. And they were waiting, hoping that they would be able to hear some communication from these men as they're coming back through the atmosphere. There's a time that I think is 3 or 4 minutes of blackout time. Well, there's no communication whatsoever. If I remember correctly, after 3 minutes, ground control was trying to contact those astronauts in that capsule, and they heard nothing. 4 minutes, nothing. 5 minutes, nothing. I don't remember for sure if it was 6 or 8 minutes that they heard no contact from them. Can I tell you what would happen in the heart of humanity at the end of 3 minutes and you try to make contact? Oh no. Has something happened? 4 minutes. We don't hear anything. 5 minutes. We don't hear anything. After a while, they kept trying to make contact and they heard transmission coming back to them, the astronaut's voice, that they were okay. The rejoicing, the satisfaction in knowing that we've at least made it this far. And it's just a little ways yet to go. All we have to do now is get them into the water. Hopefully the chutes will deploy. We'll get them in the water. It doesn't sink to the bottom. Hopefully we're that close. I'll tell you, folks, there are things that God allows us to have and allows us to do. And the wisdom of men, there are some powerful things that can be done. And we can have hope in some of those things. But if we put our faith and our confidence, if we will just be honest with ourselves and think about who gave them the ability to think and calculate and make those decisions and choices, who gave them that ability? The Creator. The Creator. And we today, in our human wisdom, look at the society that we're in, have fouled things up so bad because we have relied on the wisdom of men. that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's drop down to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you will trust in the wisdom of God, you will be made a laughingstock to many in this world who have embraced the wisdom of men. If you embrace the wisdom of God, if you claim to be saved, if you live your life in accordance with the Word of God, the Holy Bible, if you live your life that way, you are going to be at odds with much of the society in which we live today. You're going to have a hard time with your arguments. You're going to have a hard time because it takes faith to believe. But here's where the child of God has a difference. Those things that he experiences in his own life, that you have experienced by God speaking to you, as I said earlier, there is only one way that you and I can be saved. It is this Creator being able to reach to you, knowing what makes you tick, knowing how to reach your heart and your mind, knowing how to communicate with you on a level that you understand. When the Creator does that with you, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a power so much higher than you and your thinking that you must put your eggs in that basket, if you will. The wisdom of God. Let's turn back to the first chapter, 1 Corinthians. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I know full well, folks, that in the eyes of many in this world, this man standing here before you, I'm a fool. I'm nothing but a fool. Stupid, illiterate, bigoted fool to believe in something that I absolutely cannot prove. But I say to you, God knows what makes me tick. And He knows how to communicate with me and you in those ways that cannot be denied. And when you feel that communication coming from God Almighty, you know with assurance that there is something different. In our human wisdom, folks, we have turned natural laws upside down. It doesn't change any of the natural laws. But we assume a role of having a greater understanding and higher intelligence than the actual Creator when we make the wisdom of men in conflict with the wisdom of God. Now I want to ask a question. How preposterous is that? The word preposterous. Preposterous means, literally, having that first which ought to be last. Preposterous. Inverted in order. Perverted. Wrong. Absurd. Contrary to nature or reason. Not adapted to the end. Folks, the wisdom of man, in contrast with the wisdom of God, In so many ways in this world and society in which we live, it is preposterous. It has turned things upside down. It has put last things first and first things last. And this is the society in which you and I live, that has put more weight on the wisdom of men than on the wisdom of God. I want to encourage you this day to put your heart and your anchor in God and the perfect plan of salvation that God has ordained through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is able to save you wherever you may be, that is able to meet your need, whatever it may be. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, some familiar verses here. This is what happens when we get preposterous. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you hear that? They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. I think that we do well, folks, to acknowledge, and we do well to remind ourselves on a regular basis who the Creator is. And if He is the Creator of me, He knows me well. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's the society in which we live today. Doing those things that are not convenient. When God looked at His creation, He said, it is superlative. Everything that He intended it to be, it was. It has been corrupted by the creation, not the Creator. The creation has corrupted those things that God put in place, ordained and established as natural laws. We look at the things I said to you about those mathematical formulas and equations, figuring out the weight, density, mass, volume of a body. When you have those numbers, you're able to figure out the gravitational pull, the effect of gravity in those bodies. It doesn't take long for that to get way beyond my head. I know that a man that weighs 135 pounds on Earth probably weighs somewhere around 20, 25 pounds on the moon. So there's a big difference. But as you go to these other celestial bodies, sometimes a man that weighs 135 pounds might weigh 10 pounds. Sometimes he might weigh 500 pounds, depending on the mass of the body. I don't know how to figure all that out. I looked at those equations and said, somebody does. Somebody did it. When I look at these abilities of men to figure out things in physics and science and mechanics, things of that nature, it gets beyond me. I'm thankful that God has given to us wisdom. Folks, let's use it the right way. Let's not turn it around where we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. If God has given you abilities, if He's given you gifts, if He's given you abundance in life, don't forget that the Creator is the one who made it possible. Don't forget where we owe our allegiance to the Creator. Let's never be caught up in the trap or say, mine own hand hath gotten me this wealth. Mine own hand has gotten me nothing but trouble through the years, folks. I'll be honest with you. It's gotten me trouble. And I've had to retreat to my corner and say, God, have mercy on my soul and help me work my way through this thing and work my way out of this thing, Lord, because I can't do it by myself. You see what a mess I've made. But with Your help and with Your guidance and with Your strength and with Your power, You know what makes me tick. You know how to make this work. So, Lord, will you help me? We do well to call on the Creator. He knows how to make it work. He knows the formula. He knows how to work it out. He knows how to plug in the numbers. Thank God, folks, for a Creator that has all wisdom and all knowledge. And I thank God for His love and mercy to you and me. Please pray for me. I want to go to heaven. Amen.